girls.
I'm Sina.
I'm Danielle.
We want to focus on television and movies in particular.
Yes. Disclaimer that we are in no way film experts. A deep, like, dive. Be quiet.
Whoa.
I'm yelling.
Back me up on this one.
Hey, you're listening to
Two Girls Watch TV.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Two Girls Watch TV. I'm Danielle.
And I'm Sina. All right. I told Danielle, I was like, I have a funny story to tell you before, like, when we start recording. I am really trying to be positive.
Okay.
This year. I'm really trying to be positive. And I feel like I am not necessarily a negative person, but I can go down that slide. I can go down that slide and go, wee, like somebody in the movie that we're about to talk about.
I actually think you're a pretty positive person.
Okay.
You have a very positive outlook. You can definitely be sarcastic, but I appreciate the sarcasm.
Thank you. Because I feel like I'm not mean with my sarcasm. When people are mean with their sarcasm, I feel like that isn't always appreciated.
No, you're there with like one of those. Like you will throw those in every now and then.
Sometimes you need one.
Of course.
Sometimes you need one. But I find myself, like, the other day I was trying to, because for Christmas, Dave got me, we did like little gifts, right? And one of the gifts was this book from Marie Kondo, The Art of Tidying Up. And I was like, I think this is a sign. Yeah. So I was in my closet the other day and I was sitting there and I was like, look, you piece of shit. You have too many clothes. We got to do something about this. You keep saying you're going to do it and you don't do it. And I was like, hey there, pal. To me, I'm the pal.
Yeah.
That's not nice.
Yeah.
Be nicer. And so then I flipped it and I was like, we're going to clean this and then we'll have more space for more things, or we'll have more space to organize. Yeah. And so I was like, yeah, we need more of this.
Yeah.
Right. And so I went into the every colleague I ran into, I said, Happy New Year. I went into my classes like excited, and I'm teaching my podcasting class again this semester.
Oh, nice.
I specifically instructed them to not listen to this podcast until after the class is over.
Makes
sense. So if any of you are listening, shut me off and go to bed. and so my thing was, I will do this and then more positive things will come back to me. So you saw my most recent order on Amazon.
Yes.
Which was the ACOTAR Series 1 book. Okay. For book one.
It's, and for those of you who don't know, it's A Court of Thorns and Roses.
Okay.
No, known by everyone as ACOTAR, but please continue.
Okay. I'll post a picture of the book. How's that? This way everybody knows what I'm talking about in our stories. Okay. I ordered that and I ordered Larabars. And so Dave watched me put the order in and it comes to the house and he's like, what did you order on Amazon when I got home? And I was like, you watched me put the order in.
Yeah.
What do you mean? And so then I open the Amazon bag and I'm like, why is this bag so heavy? And he's like, that's why I asked what you ordered. So I open the bag and I go, oh no. And I just start laughing, right?
Yeah.
Because I ordered Larabars. And as Danielle knows, I order them by the box because they're just cheaper that way.
Yeah.
So I get like 16 of them and I follow the flavors, bless you, that I like. And when the flavor, that flavor is cheap, I buy that one. We eat all 16 of them and then we buy another flavor.
Yeah.
So one box is 16. Somebody at Amazon was tired of me ordering boxes because they sent me not one, not two, not three.
Oh, no.
But four, a whole fucking case of
Are you sure that you weren't charged for four?
No, I think I paid like 18 and change for 16 of them. Mm-hmm. And to me, I was like, I've seen this price go lower. Maybe I should hold out. And I was like, no, I'm kind of low. I don't want to be without them, especially while I'm doing Whole30, because it's like my go-to like quick grab snack, or like I have it with a piece of fruit for breakfast or something like that. So I always like to have them. And so I was like, well, now I don't feel bad for spending $18 and change because I have 64 bars.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty good deal. Pretty good steal, in my opinion.
Well, then I went back on Amazon that night and I was like, oh, now they're $14. Maybe I should get more.
No, you should not.
See four of them. So, yeah, I'm putting positive out and then positive came back to me because now I have a semi-lifetime supply of Lara bars.
Yeah.
Well, I'm here for it.
Here's the thing about positive thinking. It seems like for you, it's not necessarily that you are not positive to other people. It seems like you send the negativity towards yourself.
It's an internal battle. But every once in a while when people are negative around me, I'll be like, oh yeah, that sucks. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
And then
It's a slippery slope for sure.
Yeah, exactly. The slide.
Yeah.
So,
but no, it's a lot easier when you have a mountain and you're trying to climb it, you're going to have a negative attitude, like, ugh, I don't want to do this. And then it's going to make the trek up that much more, much tougher. That doesn't make sense. I can't speak. You know what I'm saying?
That much more difficult.
There we go. That's even better. But if you're
that,
like,
much more challenging.
Yeah, but then if you have a glass half full outlook on it, it's not so bad.
Yes. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there are days. There are days where the glass is not half full. It's not even half empty. There's no glass. It's just a puddle of water on the table.
Don't you want a glass of milk? And you think that there's like one last sip, but it's really just like the little bit of milk on the bottom of it. You know what I'm talking about? Same thing with coffee.
That's interesting. I never thought of milk in the glass half full. Half empty. I always saw water.
No, I only thought milk.
That's so interesting. Hey, if any of you thought of a different beverage or liquid in the glass half full, half empty, what is that example? To email us. Does anybody think about orange juice? I want to know.
I think the reason why I have thought milk is because, like, don't cry over spilt milk. So I take that and I add it with the glass half full, glass half empty.
You have combined cliches.
Mm-hmm. I have.
Okay, I get it.
All right, let's talk about the Emmys.
We got to go into the Emmys. I just want to say I'm really happy for our pal from I'm happy for all of Succession, but I'm really happy that Mr. Culkin won.
There you go.
Very congratulations. I'm just going to take another sip of coffee and let you talk.
Yeah. I also realized I said there you go because I knew you were trying to come up with his name. You were our pal, our from Succession.
No, it wasn't that. It was like I wanted to call him by – I wanted to say Mr. and I was going to say his first name and I was like, that doesn't make any sense. I should just say his last name. So then I just went for Mr. Culkin.
Yeah.
Can you hear me okay? I feel like I'm low.
You're fine.
All right. Okay. Just a live sound check.
Can everyone hear her okay?
Raise your hand if you can hear me okay. Everybody's just in their car driving with one hand up. Thanks, guys. Thanks, friends. Oh, boy. This is it. Anyway, yes. I watched his speech, just like him almost crying.
Yeah.
Super happy about that. Great speech.
What's crazy is that, so the Golden Globes was last weekend. Well, okay.
It's all happening so fast.
If you're watching the Emmys, the Golden Globes was a week ago before the Emmys. And then the night before the Emmys was the Critics' Choice Awards. So all these people were at the Critics' Choice Awards the night before the Emmys. So I believe he won at the Critics' Choice Awards also. So
he won the Golden Globe too.
Yeah, he did. So that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you see my Instagram story?
No.
Because Heather McMahon was working. No. Heather McMahon was working the red carpet at the.
Oh, I knew that.
Yeah, but
Yeah, we talked about it.
Yeah, but did you watch any of it?
No, I missed it because when I texted you, I was like, I think we missed the Emmys, and I only, like, caught, like, highlights.
Oh, okay. So she was working the red carpet.
But I listened to her podcast where she chats about it.
I posted up a picture of her with Ronald from Jury Duty.
Yes. Yeah. So I listened to the most recent episode of Absolutely Not. This is not, Heather does not sponsor us, but if you would like to get a knee-slapping laugh, everybody go listen to that podcast. I'm actually having my students listen to it.
Yeah.
Like the first episode with, what's her name? Jennifer Love Hewitt. Where she interviews her?
She interviews Jennifer Love Hewitt in the first episode.
It's like her first episode in 2019.
Oh, I didn't listen to that.
Okay. Well, take my word for it.
Okay.
She said, I tower over everybody in this business. Everybody is, there's not a lot of tall men in this business, but there were like three people that I didn't. And she said that he was one of them. It was Joe McHale and like one other guy.
Okay. Yeah, I see that. Her outfit looked great.
Yes. She also described how she reached out to her, the stylist. She's like, I got linebacker shoulders. I have teeny little legs and I got to pull my tits up to my chin. Can you make this work? And the stylist was like, I got you.
So I was talking to Nick about this because since the Bear has won a lot of awards, he has
fun. And you know what? Shame on Ted Lasso for rushing through your third season. That's why you lost best fucking thing. You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about. They know what you're talking about. We all know what you're talking about.
I lost it.
Best TV show. Yes.
Best fucking thing. We need to do our own award. When we get big enough, that's what I want. I want to do our own awards, our own thing. That'll be our live episode. And there has to be an award for best fucking thing.
Here's my
I'm manifesting that. Okay. That's on my vision board of 2024.
Here's my gripe. So Nick has, now that, you know, the Bear got all the accolades and has won all the awards, he decided, okay, might as well finish the series. And he did, and okay. He really liked it. But I was having the conversation with him. It's not a comedy. Like, it's something we've discussed. It's not a comedy. But it becomes abundantly clear when you have the show winning all the awards in the comedy category. And it feels like the reason that the comedy category, it feels like the reason it was put in the comedy category is because it knew we couldn't go up against Succession because Succession would win over The Bear. And that's why they had to like siphon it off to comedy so that both could win. There's some backdoor stuff and I don't like it.
You think HBO and FX are in cahoots?
Oh, I think that someone's in cahoots with someone. Someone's paying off someone.
Well, for those of you who don't know from these shows, HBO owns Succession and FX owns The Bear. And then you can also watch The Bear on Hulu, but it's an FX original. So that's a possibility. But if you're going to say that, I didn't say this last week because I liked the movie so much that I didn't really want to talk negatively about it. But The Holdovers really isn't, that's definitely more of a drama than a comedy.
Yes.
I cried way too much for that to be a comedy, so.
I really had to force that yes out of me because I was thinking about it. Yes, but I could see it more so as a comedy. There were a lot more jokes made in The Holdovers. There are no jokes made in The Bear.
You have Maddie Matheson?
Yes, Matheson.
It's Matheson. That's your comedy.
Yeah, that's not enough.
Because every line out of his mouth, I'm on the floor.
Oh man.
But yeah, it's definitely more of a drama. I'm wondering if we need like a between category, like best dramedy.
No, they just need to.
But if anybody were to do it, it would be the Golden Globes because the Golden Globes, just as we know, makes up fucking awards.
I say no. I think that they just need to properly categorize things.
They made up an award for the movie we're going to talk about today.
That's true. That is true. But I still think that they just need to properly categorize the TV and film. And they need to stop putting comedy, true comedies, under the rug, sweeping them under the rug.
Honestly, Jury Duty was so fucking good.
Yeah.
I would have really have liked that to win on Madeline.
Yeah.
Out of all of these, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not fair. But are there any other highlights that you wanted to go over for the Emmys?
I mean, you know I love Martin Short, and Martin Short, in my humble opinion, should have won.
Okay.
Based on that category. I will tell you that I watched Shrinking, and we should do it on this podcast.
Did we not do it on this podcast?
Did we?
Yeah, we did.
Did I watch it for this podcast? We did it for this podcast. Yes. I can't remember if I watched it for fun or for you.
We 1,000% did, because I watched it for this podcast. Yeah, no, okay, we've definitely done Shrinking.
Ooh, more coffee.
This is like me with The Last of Us, being like, oh, Last of Us is nominated, we gotta watch it. And you're like, Danielle,
we've done over 200 episodes. About a third of them feel like a fucking fever dream to me.
Yeah, you know, I was looking through my notes and I was like, The Longest Goodbye, what is that? Couldn't even tell you what that one was.
It was that the short?
Yeah, maybe?
I think it was one of the shorts that we did. Yeah, the bear really sweeped.
Yeah, the bear definitely sweeped.
But Sam Richardson won from Ted Lasso, and that was I like him because he always has these tiny parts in movies and TV shows, and I was happy to see him win.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say that. What is Poker Face? Is this something that we should invest our time in?
I mean, it's your girl. What's her face?
I know, Natasha Leon.
De Leon. Leon.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah,
that's it.
Like a cockroach.
I'm not a cockroach. You're a cockroach. That's pretty good. I don't know how it sounds over the recording for you.
Yours was a lot better than mine.
Thank you. Then there's, what was the other one that I wanted to? Well, again, Succession kind of swept.
Succession and The Bear had the biggest nights. And I feel like just Succession in general, like, it is the last year, so they gave it all the awards, which, honestly, it's deserved. It's a fantastic, fantastic show.
Yeah, I don't think they gave it to them. I think that the acting on that show is just, I'm getting chills just talking about it, really.
Yeah, but I also...
Oh, we gotta talk about Jennifer Coolidge. She won again.
She did, for White Lotus.
I fucking called that shit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exciting for her. I'm very excited to see the next season of The White Lotus. We've talked about this.
Yes, you sent me that person who needs to work for the FBI.
We've talked about this every episode, I feel. This is another one where it's like, I feel like I bring this up to a bunch of people, but I'm very excited to see. Oh, hold on. Oh, no, it's The Last of Us. Didn't I send it to you as well that Caitlin Dever is joining The Last of Us?
Ooh, no, I didn't know that. But I also wanted to say congrats to, I always want to call him Ron Swanson, man. It's so bad. Nick Offerman. Because that was, when we went over The Last of Us, I think it was your favorite too, but episode 3 was my absolute favorite. And maybe it's because I don't like little crappy jump scares, and I don't like mushroom fucking heads around the corner going bleh. But... that episode was so... Don't laugh at me like
no,
that.
No, I'm laughing at you because I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, my God. I would never survive in that. No. I'm just letting you know.
No, I'd die immediately.
And then I would turn around and be like, so do you guys think it's going to, like, rain today? And then just get my whole body eaten by mushroom men.
No.
So, forget it.
I know that if an apocalyptic situation would happen... the thing that I would be hunting for the most is my contacts, or are my contacts, because they mentioned this in Broad City, where, like, if an apocalypse happened, you really got to stock up on contacts, because I would be gone with the vision that I have.
Oh, I'm on my last pair. I'm always on my last pair.
Of contacts?
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if I don't have them stockpiled... But also, like, I buy, like, 90 at a time. That's just simply not enough contacts to survive. So if
dailies,
if I would go into a looting situation, it would be me stealing my contacts.
If I would go into a looting situation, I'd probably steal coffee.
Yeah, no, but like, my vision, I can simply not see if I don't have them. So it would be easier for me to die. Like, if we were in a time before contacts, I wouldn't be able to move around this world.
Just grab your glasses.
These fall off my face. It just wouldn't work. I would be dead.
You gotta get better glasses.
I know. I know.
Go on Zenni. Not sponsored by Zenni, but go on Zenni.
Whatever. I know I need to do it, but I'm saying that if I was to die, my biggest deterrent would be my vision.
I think if this were to happen, I would go up to the first conspiracy theorist like that I could find and be like, I'm so sorry. I believe everything. Can I stay in your bunker?
I do agree that coffee would be tough to not have. But at the end of the day, you can learn how to survive without it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 Most likely.
Yeah. All right. Are we ready to get into the movie?
I think so. Is there anything else from the Emmys that you wanted to go over?
No, I think we covered a lot of it.
All right. I do want to watch Beef at some point.
I watched the first episode, but I need to, we'll do it for the podcast and then we'll watch all of it.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's like a limited series or something like that.
It is. On the Fletniks.
On the Fletniks. You threw me through a loop there. All right.
You got me with the H-bow, so.
I thought it was Netflix. Netflix. What did you say?
Fletniks.
Fletniks?
Yeah.
All right. I remember that one. Okay. So you can watch this movie on HBO. We're going to talk about Barbie today. Not even Barbie the movie, it's just called Barbie, right?
It's just Barbie. So, I only have the awards for the Golden Globes because we are recording this on January 19th. The Oscar nominations are coming out January 30th. All right.
You think this is going to be nominated for an Oscar?
Yeah, absolutely.
For what?
I'm not getting into this with you. And they don't divide
it. I think it's going to be for costumes.
They don't divide it up. Okay, whatever. Golden Globes nominations. Ryan Gosling was nominated for Best Performance by a Male Actor in a Supporting Role. Margot Robbie was nominated for Best Performance by a Female Actor in a Motion Picture, Musical, or Comedy. This was nominated for Best Screenplay. Greta Gerwig was nominated for Best Director. This was nominated for Best Motion Picture, Musical, or Comedy. This won Cinematic Box Office Achievement. Billie Eilish won for Best Original Song, What Was I Made For? Dance the Night Away by Dua Lipa was nominated for Best Original Song. And then I'm Just Ken was nominated for Best Original Song.
I thought it won.
No, Billie Eilish won.
Oh, okay.
You're thinking of the Critics' Choice Awards. That won.
That's what I'm... Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because yes. I definitely saw that in our our Instagram feed. Yeah. I say our Instagram feed because I was on the Two Girls account.
There you go.
Sometimes I forget I'm on that account. And then I just start liking a bunch of shit. And I'm like, oh, I fucked with this algorithm, that's for sure. Okay. Barbie lives in Barbie land, where women run the show and everything is perfect. Until the real world conflicts with Barbie land. Barbie, Ken, and Co. find out the real world is vastly different from theirs. Barbie needs to save it so it can restore Barbie land back to normal. But one visit to the real world from Barbie and Ken changes so many things all at once.
So stereotypical Barbie is played by Margot Robbie.
I just want to say, IMDb, before you go into this, I wrote this in my notes to tell you that I'm so sorry. Because IMDb fucking did you dirty with this.
Barbie, Ken. I mean, to be fair, that is how they refer to each other in the movie.
I understand.
That is the world that Greta Gerwig created, and we understand that it's Barbie, Barbie, Ken, Ken, Barbie, Barbie, Ken. So I will, on my watch through, I made sure that Margot Robbie does refer to herself as, I'm Barbie, stereotypical Barbie. So, stereotypical Barbie, played by Margot Robbie. Mm-hmm. Ken, whose role is Beach, is played by Ryan Gosling. Mattel employee and Barbie lover Gloria is played by America Ferrera. Her daughter is Sasha, played by Ariana Greenblatt. And this is an asterisk here. One of the big Easter eggs in the movie is that Sasha and her three other friends in the high school are supposed to be the Bratz dolls. Did you catch that?
Really?
Yes. Because, like, if you look up the Bratz dolls' name, like, they introduce each one. Sasha is a Bratz doll.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Well, there you go. There's the Easter egg for you, Christina.
I don't think I ever played with Bratz dolls.
No, because we were Barbie girls.
Yes.
We were the Barbie girls in a Barbie world.
That's what I was going to say. Yes. Continue.
President of Mattel is Will Ferrell. He is a vet on this podcast. He was in Spirited and Elf. I don't know why I said in Elf. President Barbie is played by Issa Rae. Weird Barbie is played by Kate McKinnon. Ken is also played by Simu Liu. Alan is played by Michael Cera. Hysterical role. Ruth Handler is played by Rhea Perlman. And so Ruth Handler, CEO of Mattel, appears. Her actual daughter, Barbara Handler, who Barbie was named after, is also in this film. Did you know that? Were you listening?
No, I was, but I didn't know that.
So when Margot Robbie sits down and there is an old woman sitting with her at the bus stop and she says, you're so beautiful, and she says, I know it. That's Barbara Handler, who is Ruth Handler's daughter, who Barbie was named after.
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't know that that was her.
There's okay. Another Easter egg for you, Christina. I got all the Easter eggs for this movie. And the narrator is Helen Mirren.
Helen Mirren! Great narration.
Yes.
Really good narration.
Excellent voice.
Getting one of my highs out there, but yeah. Sometimes you just have, like, there's some people, like Morgan Freeman is so is an obvious one, but Helen Mirren, I would say, is another one. You just have some people who are, like, really good at narrating.
Christopher Walken.
No, I would not. That's a very specific, a very specific genre of narration. But I but like in a serious type of thing, yeah, they're good.
All right,
it's good.
So Barbie, Gloria, Sasha, and Weird Barbie have concocted a plan to unbrainwash the Barbies from the patriarchy. Their plan is to distract the Kens so they miss the Constitution vote. The plan goes without a hitch. They get the Kens to battle each other by getting the Kens to think that the Barbies like their guitar playing and then flirting with other Kens, causing a civil war situation. The battle happens and then is quickly resolved, but they do completely forget about the vote, which the Barbies then block the Constitution, you know, the patriarchal Constitution that they're trying to pass. Barbie and Ken have a heart-to-heart. They recognize that they should not be battling for the upper hand, but should try to build each other up. Peace has been brought to Barbie Land, but Barbie feels different than she did in the beginning.
Indeed. Barbie has a conversation with Ruth, and she decides that she wants to be human. So she goes into the real world and magically transforms from doll to human form. She's in the car with Gloria, Sasha, and Gloria's... I put Gloria's husband. I don't know if he has a name.
Yeah, it's Gloria's husband.
All right.
His whole shtick is that he's just, like, completely oblivious at home playing Duolingo.
He's trying to speak their language.
Yeah.
And then she's correcting him in the car.
Exactly.
I know that feeling, okay? I know what it's like. Okay? That might be my IRL moment here. So they all send her well wishes after her the next big step in her life. Barbie steps out of their SUV. It's more like a crossover, but like whatever.
Yeah.
With her oversized blazer and Birkenstocks, big zoom in on those because this is now a transition, and walks into into a big building with anticipation built as she walks in. She heads to a counter, and a woman behind a desk asks how she can help her. Barbie says she's here to see the gynecologist. End scene.
So what did IMDb rate this?
A 6.9 out of 10.
The critics on Rotten Tomatoes gave this an 88%, and the audience gave it an 83%.
It's high.
It is high.
High praise. All right, so I just took the first review. Sometimes I do this where I'm just like, I'm just going to take the first one and read it and make sense of it. And so it's around where I wanted it to be, like a 6. So it's around where IMDb rated it. Beautiful film, but so preachy is the title. Margot does the best with what she's given, but the film is very disappointing to me. It was marketed as a fun, quirky satire with an homage to other movies. It started that way, but ended with over-dramatized speeches and an ending that clearly tried to make an audience feel something, but left everyone feeling confused. And before you say I'm a crotchety old man, I'm a woman in my 20s. So I'm pretty sure I'm the movie's target audience. The saddest part is, there were parents with their kids in the theater that were victims of poor marketing because this is not a kid's movie. Overall, the humor was fun on occasion and the film is beautiful to look at, but the whole concept falls apart in the second half of the film and becomes a pity party for the quote unquote strong woman.
Okay, we got a lot to unpack there.
You want to do it now or do you want to read your review?
We'll do it later because I got thoughts. I've definitely have thoughts on this movie.
Yeah, I'm wondering if your opinion has changed because when we were first...
My opinion has changed on the second watch through.
Okay. Yeah. I had a feeling.
Okay. 2 out of 5 stars. It did not do the Barbie lore I know and love justice. I thought there were far too many plot points and none were fleshed out. The ferocious marketing made me want to see the movie less and less as it kept being shoved at me. The costumes were great and I enjoy the effort they put into set and props. I absolutely hate Will Ferrell and his character was completely unnecessary. Overall disappointing, but it had a few funny moments. So, before we get into the lows, do you want to focus on the highs? Because well, you're on your positive thinking kick?
Absolutely. I said the narration, but the costumes, the shots, and the cast and the acting was really, really good.
Really, really good.
I bought into it. I was here for Ryan Gosling, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
There were a couple of lines where I laughed to myself that Ryan Gosling said, and it reminded me of things that Nick has said.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just sat there and I was like, oh my God, that's a thing I could see Nick saying.
Yes.
Like some of the ways that he would like laugh and say certain things. I was like, I've definitely been in a room with Danielle and Nick and he said something like that and I'm on the floor.
I was watching the movie with Nick and Nick found Ryan Gosling absolutely hysterical the entire time. He was definitely chuckling. He was laughing at Ryan Gosling.
Yes. But I can see why.
Also, he's such a good dancer. Like, have you ever seen the video of him as a little kid dancing, Ryan Gosling?
Yes, we should find it and post it.
I have it saved already. I'll send it to you. No, he's excellent. All the acting was great in the show. I get, this isn't necessarily a spoiler, but like, for my expectation versus reality, I feel like when I got to watch this movie in my apartment alone... Well, Nick was there, but like in a confined setting, as opposed to being at the movie theater, I was able to feel a lot of the like points made in the movie a lot more. Maybe I was just in a moody mood, but like Billie Eilish deserves the award for best original song because What Was I Made For is an absolutely beautiful song that will make me cry every single time. And the scene where like Barbie first gets to the real world, she just like leaves the high school and she's crying on the bus bench and she's like experiencing the world for the first time and she's looking at people like laughing and people fighting and people upset and also like children playing And then she's like looking at the wind in the trees. And then she has her moment with Barbara Handler where she says, "You're so beautiful." She says, "I know it." Makes me cry. Makes me cry.
Yeah, no, same. I was crying at that scene as well. Are you crying now?
Maybe a little bit.
Okay. That's for, I don't know if we had any crying on this podcast.
Get choked up. It's beautiful.
It is. I really liked that scene. Yeah. It was, I mean, Margot Robbie, this is how I feel. I feel that sometimes Margot Robbie is wasted on certain movies because there are other like smaller films that she has done. Don't ask me what they are because I'm having trouble thinking of them now. But like the role that she plays in those is just absolutely like fantastic.
Yeah.
And then she gets, to me, if you were to ask me, she gets wasted on Suicide Squad and Barbie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well.
She is fantastic. I'm sorry. I think she's above those films.
So don't quote me, but I'm pretty positive that like Margot Robbie was influential in getting this movie made. She was a producer on this film, and like she was the one really like pushing for the film to be made. So
That's why it makes sense that she's Barbie. But also, exactly. It does make sense that she's Barbie.
Yeah,
don't get me wrong. That part does make sense. But I think that like she can. She should do more.
Yeah.
Like other ones that are like more powerful.
I loved the self-aware comedy in this movie. Like when Margot Robbie was saying like she's really ugly and like she like can't feel towards the end of the movie. And like the narrator chirps in like, "We understand that her saying this, that Margot Robbie saying this wasn't the best casting on our part, but please continue, but please don't hold us for the, or hold, I'm butchering this so horribly. You know what I'm trying to say, though. We all saw the movie. We all know the point I'm trying to make. I'm butchering it, but you get it."
Yes, you're fine.
Thank you.
Don't worry about it. I really loved Ryan Gosling's performance. I'm sorry. It's so good.
No, it is. I agree that the acting all the way around was fantastic. Okay, let me give you my two funny lows, and then we'll go into actual low lows.
Okay.
Number one, horses are a girl thing, not a boy thing. How dare boys take over horses?
That's true. It's like they did no research.
Well, the whole point was like, Ken saw a cop riding a horse, and then he's like, "Oh, well, men must love horses." And then I saw all the horse stuff that the Kens had, and I was like,
"No, you're right.
That's my thing." Second missed opportunity, or a second thing, it was a missed opportunity not having the Spice Girls in this movie because they did a lot of research on Barbies, Spice Girl Barbies, huge thing. They did play the Spice Girls, but like if only they had got them to be in this and be Barbies in Barbie Land.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point. I'd also like to debunk the theory of like what your review said about like the lore, because just seeing like the dream house and the car and like her floating from the sky, and like the feet thing where the heels don't go flat. I think all that was like really well done.
If you look at every single outfit that Margot Robbie has worn on a red carpet, you can tell that everyone's doing their research on Barbies and Barbie culture.
And more importantly, what's not Barbie culture? Because I do want to make a teeny point. I don't know if you know this, but the yellow dress at the end, that whole outfit at the end, was really meant to signify something else, right? So if you look at everything that Barbie wears, it's not it's not skin tight.
Yeah.
And it's not like falling to your figure. It's like a little bit more boxy, or it's like a shift dress, or like maybe it's like a mermaid dress, right? If it's like a gown or something.
Yeah.
But Barbie style is very specific. So they picked that yellow dress very specifically to kind of signify that like she's seen the real world and now her outfit is starting to change. So it was like that dress. It was the little locket.
Yeah.
With the heart, where they said that had a little bit more of like a human nature to it. So yeah, that's why they wanted the locket piece. So like even the parts where she's like slowly transitioning out of Barbie, but she's still Barbie, mm-hmm, like those were all also really well thought out. Yeah. And they chose yellow because for a while, don't quote me on exactly when this was, because I can't remember. I had the article. I just don't know where I put it. I thought I put it in my notes, but it's not here. One of the most popular things that people bought for their Barbies was a yellow dress.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a little Easter egg for you, pal.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. I don't like that Barbie and Ken were enemies.
No. I don't either.
I kind of was hoping, I'm going into my expectation versus reality here.
Yeah.
But I thought that Ken was going to be like Barbie's sidekick.
Yes, but...
And then I thought that at the end, they were going to be like equals. Mm-hmm. And then like the whole world would become equal.
Yeah. It was definitely a harsh switch. It made for great comedy, but I felt like when I first saw it, I was not crazy about it. However, I was talking to my friend Janelle, hello Janelle, about this, and I was like, why didn't I like it? And she was like, you know, the point is like, patriarchy isn't good for anyone. And as soon as she said that, I was like, oh, okay, I get it now. Like, everyone, the whole point is that like, originally Ken was designed to be like, a like accessory to Barbie in the Barbie world. And that's why like they make the comment like Barbie has a good day every day, but Ken only has a good day if Barbie looks at her. So then when he went to the real world, there was that flip-flop. And then by the end, they all realized, hey, you know, it shouldn't be one or the other. It should be equal.
Right. I feel like I wish there was a little bit more of like a wrap-up of like how it was equal now.
Yeah.
Because I liked the fact that like Ken gets to be Ken and it doesn't have to be Ken and Barbie, but also shut up with that, because Barbie and Ken is the original Stan that I have. So give me that. Okay. Do not take that away from me. How dare you?
No, you ship them. You ship Barbie and Ken.
Yeah, but I also stand by them.
Oh, you stand them, but you also ship them.
Yeah, we could do both. Yeah. We could do both.
Okay. The biggest plot point that really bothered me is, like, the whole thing that set this in motion was that Gloria played with the Barbie, and then all of a sudden she knew what depression was.
There's a lot of people that do that. I don't know how one person all of a sudden,
it doesn't make any sense. And also, like, with what we saw in the real world, like, Sasha used to play with the Barbies, and then Sasha stopped playing with the Barbies and was about to give them away to Goodwill, a la Toy Story 3, and then all of a sudden, like, nothing happens, like, nothing changes in Barbie Land, even though they're not being played with.
A continuity error, I think.
There are just those points just didn't make any sense to me, and didn't get that.
I agree, and I wish that, like, you know, they talk about other glitches in the system, but like people are bound to pick up something like as they're throwing shit out again. You know what I mean? It doesn't...
If you think about that fact that, like, Barbie got depression because someone was playing with her in the real world and, like, was sad, it does... That... I get what the point is, but it also doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, it doesn't make a lot of sense because there's probably a lot of people that do that. So then this should be happening, like...
Yeah.
Semi-annually, at least.
Yeah, exactly. But...
Maybe monthly. I don't know. I don't know what people do, but I know people do this. I know I pick up toys from my past when I find them, and I'm like, oh, this was nice. It makes me think of a time when I didn't have as many woes or, like, things to worry about or bills to pay. Yeah. And then I'm like, oh, it's a different time now.
I mean, I think that we're not supposed to dig too deep into it, but here I am digging to China because I really, really didn't get that.
But you know what? Then don't make a movie that's deep if you don't want people to look into it.
Yeah.
It's really how I feel. If you're going to make something surface level, like Love Hard, right? Like just like a holiday movie. You remember when we did that? It was like, we take that at surface level. We know what it is. But if you're going to make something that has depth, that has a meta component to it, you cannot sit here and say, don't look into that.
Yeah.
Don't open that door.
Yeah.
I need to know where that door goes. You have created something that makes me think. So now we need to open all the doors.
Of course.
Sorry, you don't get to pick and choose. You either make a movie that's surface level, everybody understands that and enjoys it for what it is, or you make something where people think, and then people are going to dive deeper. Yeah. It's just the nature of the beast, I think.
Yep.
Absolutely. I'm sorry.
No.
I really didn't like the ending. I really didn't like that, like, she finally got into the real world and the first thing we're doing is going to the gynecologist. I really thought she was going in for an internship as she was going to work her way up and, like, really do something. And so I feel like everything that we've kind of built up here, like, I get the joke.
Yeah.
I get it, right? Because she's like, I don't have, like, female parts. He doesn't have male parts. And so, like, it was a callback on that.
Yeah.
But comedy, I think, works best in threes. I only heard that joke once and then again at the end.
Yeah.
It'd be nice if it was, like, the comedy of threes. Or if we say, like, she's on her way to the internship and then she's like, oh, but afterwards, do you mind dropping me off by the gynecologist? There's a couple things I got to check out. Like something that, like, cute and lighthearted like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you think? I'm just going on.
I mean, I took the joke just as it is, but I feel like the joke was like, oh, it looks like she's going for a job interview, but really she's just like going to the gynecologist, like, because now she's a real girl. I don't know. I didn't get too fired up about it.
I kind of wanted her to be like her own version of a woman. Like, I don't know. I like mine better.
Okay.
Sorry.
Can we segue into snack break?
Yes.
Okay.
Go for it.
I had a cheese omelet.
Ooh. I ended up having another RX vanilla packet. And then I bought a series. You'd be very proud of me. My tea game at night is getting better. A series of herbal teas, and I had one that was orange and spice, and it was really good.
Ooh, that sounds good.
It was. I also bought, like, little, like, tea dishes to put my tea bag in, because and people who drink tea will poo-poo me, but I keep forgetting to take my tea bag out, and then my tea is just so strong, and I'm like, well, I don't have a place to put it, and I'm already on the couch, so I guess it's just gonna stay here.
Yeah, I usually, dunk until I have the desired strength that I need, and then I throw the tea out before I move it elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think to do that. So that's probably part of the problem. But now I have these little, like, tea dishes that could also double as soy sauce dishes because they're, like, little bowls.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I got to use one of those.
Oh, fun.
Amazon. I already did my expectation versus reality. It was like that whole of like, I really thought that Ken was going to be Barbie's sidekick. I don't hate the fact that they were at odds with each other, but I do wish that we could see a little bit more of that equality at the end.
Yeah. So I saw this in theaters, and the first time I saw it, I really did not know what I was getting into. I just was kind of along for the ride. And originally I really was not a fan of this movie, and I didn't know why it was getting such a hype. I feel like the marketing was just, like, way too aggressive, and, like, the Chevy ads in the middle of the movie, it felt weird that there was so much marketing and so much push behind this movie with the message being that it is. I also really didn't understand why the doll's dialogue was, like, so lacking, and, like, it just seemed, like, so campy. But then I realized, like, okay, if these dolls are supposed to be being played with by kids, that's the dialogue that they're given. They're given, like, a child's dialogue.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And that's why, I mean, the flying off the roof, you get it, because, you know, that's what you do with dolls. You don't make them walk down the stairs. You fly them off the roof. But right, that is why right. they're just, hi, Barbie. Like, that's why it's just so... not unthought out, but so immature, I guess is a great way to put it. Like, the dialogue.
Yeah. I think it is very thought out based on what kids would say, yeah.
Exactly. But the second time around, like I said earlier, I was able to just watch and feel a lot of the, like, big points of the movie, and I had a lot better feeling towards it. Is it my favorite movie in the world? No. But I enjoyed it.
It had some good parts.
It's not one that I'm going to be like, oh, you gotta watch. It's not like what I've been doing with The Holdovers, where it's like, you gotta watch The Holdovers. It's more just like...
Your first reaction to me, so like our experience with expectation versus reality was, I said we should do Barbie on the, I wanted to see Barbie in theaters. I wanted to wear pink. And every time I went to do that, my plans got canceled. So I just sat home and watched it in my fucking PJs and I was really mad, but I put my pink glasses on because I wanted to
feel like a part of it.
Yes. In a Barbie world. But when I said we should do it on the podcast, you were like, yeah. And I was like, oh. And you were like, eh. I was like, you didn't like it? And you were like, meh.
Exactly. I mean, that's
our conversation.
I liked it more. I can firmly say I like the movie, but it's not like, I don't love the movie.
Yeah, I'm not going to go out of my way to be like, let's watch it again.
Yeah.
Unless everybody wants to dress up.
Okay.
If everybody wants to dress up and make like Cosmos and like, or pink drinks, like, I'm there. Let's do it. Let's have a chick flick night. This is definitely going in there. I get it.
All right. Did you have an IRL moment?
Well, I'll just take that part with the, I will take the one with when the husband's in the car trying to speak Spanish and she's just, I have tried so many times to learn Portuguese, Danielle, and it's so difficult. I will be like 97% with what I'm saying is correct, and I'm still getting in trouble. I'm still getting in trouble. There was one event that we had to go to, and the valet parking lot was so backed up, and for the life of me, I can't remember what sentence or saying I was trying to learn, but so... we thought it would be a great time to start learning Portuguese in the car while we were stuck in this valet traffic. And so I would have loved to have seen people like walk by our vehicle, because we got to a point, and my husband is cool, calm, collected most of the time, right? It's a balance between the two of us. And so there was one point where he's just like screaming in the car, saying it in, like, screaming at me in Portuguese because he's trying to get me to hear it. And so I'm like, just because you're saying it louder doesn't mean I'm gonna get it. My mouth doesn't move that way, okay? It's gotta practice moving that way. Yeah, so can relate for sure. I'm sure there's a lot more IRL moments, but that one was just like the one that I cradled and took with me.
I understand. I love horses too. I mentioned this before. I would, every horse, you know, picture thing, I would do too. I would make horses part of my government if I was president. I'm with that.
I stand by that. I can confirm. Danielle went to horse camp. She loved horses. She rode horses. She had horse things.
I had horse things. I still have horse things. I still go to the thrift store and I want to buy every horse thing. I have to blind shield myself. Literally, I have a horse picture right above my desk. Not even joking.
As you should. Horse is your spirit animal. A dachshund is mine.
There you go. I just got the image of a horse and dachshund like walking next to each other, and it was the cutest thing.
It's like the Budweiser commercial, but with a dachshund.
Mm, exactly.
Yeah, that's it. Picasso used to walk around like a Clydesdale sometimes. So like, whatever, they could be friends. Can we do it?
I think that's everything.
He did it. Okay. I went into Dora for like a split second. You did. There. Sorry about that. So guys, our February schedule is going to come out like probably by next week. We're going to finalize it. We still have one more holiday movie that I'm super stoked to do because we're festive till February.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see it on the schedule. But if you, what are we doing next week? Oppenheimer.
Mm-hmm.
Oppenheimer. So if you would like to write in a review on Oppenheimer, let us know. You can reach out to us on Instagram and Twitter at Hey, It's Two Girls. I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Classic Cena. Danielle's on Instagram at Danielle Kobianchi. Our email, if you want to write in a review there, if you have suggestions for future stuff, we are going to be very heavily invested in what's left of the Golden Globes and the Emmys. We're going to try to do as many movies as we can for now, but we will dabble. So twogirlswatchtv@gmail.com. Two is spelled out T-W-L. The YouTube channel is Two Girls Drink Beer. And I've been forgetting to say this for a minute, but hey, like and rate the podcast. Please. Please, 5 stars. Please.
All right, thanks, everyone. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll catch you next week. Bye. Bye.